This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Get comfortable being uncomfortable.
It's time for Ben's Vision.
Our mission starting this spring is to win and to win now.
Projecting how the Bears roster will take shape under new head coach Ben Johnson.
Ben's vision is going to be principle.
These are the type of players that I need. That's the vision.
If it doesn't fit Ben's vision, are you willing to move on from certain guys?
Really enjoy hearing Ben's vision.
Current roster, free agents, and the draft.
Our entire organization's fired up about Ben Johnson and his vision for winning football.
Ben's vision.
This offense will be calibrated with Caleb in mind. This is not simply a dropping of a previous playbook down on the table and starting there. Nope, we're ripping this thing down to the studs and we're going to build it up with him first and foremost and then with the pieces around him next.
With Spiegel at Holmes on 670 The Score.
What we like to do a couple times a week here in the offseason is go through the roster, see what things we might be able to learn about the new head coach, Ben Johnson. And obviously with the news of today, them picking up Jonah Jackson, you find out that he probably had a big role in saying to Ryan Poles, hey, man, pick this guy up.
Yeah, man. Help us. He's in charge of the philosophy of the football organization. So we mixed in with this, we always look back at the personnel usage in Detroit, what he's been around, what he has done, and we try to let it inform some of the decisions that are to be made in this offseason.
So today we thought that we would talk about the wideout position. Now, granted, there's at least three different wideout positions themselves, and sometimes they're asked to do the same thing, sometimes they're asked to do different things. But there's one thing for sure that we need to talk about, and that's whether the wide receiving core, the three guys that were the main focal point of the wide receiving core, are all three going to be back.
Yeah, we know DJ Moore is coming back, and Ben's talked about him quite a bit. We know Roma Dunze is coming back, and Ben's talked about him quite a bit. We don't know whether Keenan Allen, who was a big acquisition at wide receiver three, or maybe wide receiver two with Adunze as the three, but again, the usage is something we'll get into. We don't know if Keenan Allen is gonna come back. Keenan was open about knowing it's not like he was going to get a huge contract in this coming.
I mean, I'm not looking to make $35
million. Laughing at it. He knows where he is in his career.
I wonder if he's salty about that, though. Because one of the things that he was probably looking at is like, hey, I got this. I got the move to Chicago. They weren't going to pay me out there in L.A. I have this opportunity with this young quarterback that I like to make some plays. And then the offense itself kind of disintegrated. His numbers weren't terrible. There was 70 catches, 744 yards, 7 touchdowns for him last year. He seemed to be the guy that Caleb, if he was looking to convert a first down, he would look the way of Keenan Allen.
And Caleb spoke lovingly about him. They've got a relationship that goes back. And Keenan was there at the pro day at USC. and obviously some security blanket stuff developed. Let's listen to Keenan talk about whether he thinks he could come back. This from the end of his Bears season.
Obviously a new start for me, a new position, new place, and talking with DJ today, he wants me to run it back. So we'll see.
Do you want to run it back?
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you talked to them about that at all, or is it something you're going to look?
No, I haven't talked to anybody. With a rookie quarterback, it's hard because he has to take his process. Everything kind of goes through him. As much as we want the ball, without the quarterback play, without the coaching staff, you know, without the run game, it's hard for receivers to actually get the ball. Tom Brady talked about it. He's talking about getting the number one receiver the ball and when they take him away. So it's hard. There's a lot of things to go into it, and just got to kind of be ready when the number's called. Anybody can pop off any week. So his potential's through the roof. You see that through the weeks. You know, he's still having good games. His QBR is great. His turnover percentage is great. So, you know, just being able to do that and learning the defenses and the offense at the same time, is that's tough in itself. So I think his sky's the limit for his talent.
So the reason I bring up you wonder if he's upset about it is because there was an opportunity going into free agency for Keenan Allen to continue to build on his resume. And while it wouldn't have been a huge contract, it probably would have been more than what he might get now on the open market. So does he want to stay and continue to grow things with Caleb and work for a coach that I think will figure out a way to get him more involved in the offense, and maybe the offense will look a lot more professional than what it did last year?
Understandable.
Or he could go back to Los Angeles and go play for the Chargers with a team that was in the playoffs last year, mm-hmm, and a coach that clearly has proven that he knows how to coach offense.
Well, let's take it back to Ben, because this is what it's about, because Keenan Allen is not going to decide his fate as much as Ben and Ryan Poles are going to decide whether they go after Keenan. I thought it was important to look at this. We're always looking at the personnel. 11 personnel, which means one running back,
one tight end,
and three wide receivers. Wide range of how much it was used in the NFL by given teams last year. The Falcons were at the top 85% of the time. They ran 11 personnel with three wideouts. The Rams and Sean McVay, 81% of the time. Okay, it goes all the way down to the Niners, who did it 34% of the time. That's 32nd in the NFL. The Bears and Shane Waldron, 71% of the time. That's 6th in the NFL last year. Their whole design, as we saw, three wideouts, put them all out there, scare teams into thinking we can pass, and then surprise them by running. How'd that go? Not so well.
It didn't go great because it wasn't coordinated very well. They seemed to want to go with, we're going to run 11 personnel.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like it blinded them to building other things that would allow for them to more easily do 11 personnel.
So what has Ben Johnson done in 3 years as the offensive coordinator in Detroit? He last year had 11 personnel, three wideouts out there, 54% of the time. That's 24th. In the NFL. And that was the lowest of his time as the OC. It was 69% in 2022. It was 61% in 2023. So it has been decreasing as he has gone on here. So I don't think wide receiver three is a massive priority for Ben Johnson in terms of having three starting caliber wide receivers from a roster building situation. If you're only going to be a guy who might use three wide receivers 54% of the time, because that also goes to usage, where every one of his guys is sometimes in the slot, sometimes outside. He doesn't have a dedicated, here's my Cooper Kupp slot receiver. That's not how he has done it the last 3 years. Amon Ross St. Brown, just to finish the thought, Lawrence, 42% of his routes were in the slot last year, his lowest percentage in 4 years. The year before that, 55% of his routes. Amon Ross St. Brown played outside and played slot, as did everybody on that Lions team. So I don't think three wideouts and bringing Keenan back is a fit for Ben Johnson.
I would imagine that Ben Johnson, if we were to talk to him, he would be talking about pass catchers and not necessarily the position of wide receiver. You saw that they got production from the tight end spot, the way that they used Jahmyr Gibbs in the passing game last year. I think that his creativity is not, at least from what we've seen of him as an offensive coordinator, his creativity is not limited to the personnel grouping. They'll do whatever they need to do to try and make it work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's my question for you, Speaks. Would you move on, if you're Ryan Poles, would you move on from Keenan Allen so that you can get Rome Odunze more opportunities as a guy that's not just there in the 11 personnel, but he's going to be out there primarily as the guy, the other guy, opposite DJ Moore?
I think you want Rome Odunze to be able to catch passes in multiple spots in Ben Johnson's offense and have the availability to do so. And I think you want whoever's going to be your third wide receiver to be a blocking beast, because that's what Ben Johnson's wide receivers do. That's what every skill position player on Detroit does. As Ben has liked to say, no block, no rock. You don't block, you don't get the football. Jameson Williams had to learn that in Detroit. Tim Patrick lives it in Detroit. That whole Lions offense plays that way and thinks that way, and I'm not so sure that's a fit for Keenan Allen as your third wide receiver.
Well, and Jameson Williams learned a lot of that from Antoine Randall, who is now the assistant head coach of the Bears.
You think that's a big deal, that your assistant head coach is a former wideout?
I think it was a way to get him away from Detroit mostly, but I do like that he's doing that it allows him to have a bump up in pay, gives him a little bit of a bump in prestige, and hopefully puts him on the road to someday having his own team. This is what Ben envisions for Randall L's role.
He's going to be charged with not only the receiver room, but really the offense and the entire team. Mm-hmm. That assistant head coach title, that means something to me. That means something to him. He's really going to spearhead our turnaround here in Hallis Hall, and it's going to show up on Sundays going forward. So I think what is really going to relate to our guys is when they understand how wholesome he is and how he's really invested in not only their success as a football player, but so much more off the field than anybody would ever know. So once they get to know the true Randall L, I think it's really going to come to light.
Antoine Randall L was Big Ten Player of the Year as a quarterback at Indiana.
L's a stud.
He is. He made his bones in the NFL as a wide receiver.
And a guy who was willing to do absolutely anything you needed to do on an offensive team.
Including throwing a touchdown in the Super Bowl on a trick play to Hines Ward, which I think is important. You got to remember, Antoine Randall L is my size. He's 5'10" and 185 pounds. And him and Hines Ward were out there knocking people's blocks off. This is something that is now illegal. I just want to make sure that I say that. It is now illegal. But this is how Hines Ward used to get down back in the day.
Back to a regular defense now with four defensive backs. Two tight ends with Moore in the backfield for Roethlisberger from the 43. Fake again to Merelde Moore. He got right by the oncoming rush. The blitz was owned by Jonathan Joseph and Duque on the far side. It's a gain of 6 on the play, and a player is down across the way at about the 43-yard line.
And just keep an eye on Hines Ward. I mean, this is a guy that throws his body around. He is a most complete receiver in the game. He is unselfish, a great competitor, and he's willing to block.
Those guys took pride in catching you napping. And they went for it. There was a level of toughness. If you were going to play for the Steelers of any era, but specifically that era at the wide receiver spot, you better go out and block for somebody. So you had all of those ingredients together with Antoine Randall L the wide receivers coach and assistant head coach Bears.
Love it. That's a great reference. And because the way that Lions offense played, I mean, we saw with other teams, we watched A.J. Brown block for the Eagles and heard broadcasters praising him. But if you watched the Lions at all the last 3 years, you saw every single skill position dude blocking their ass off as needed. And I love that philosophy, no block, no rock, man. You Google that, and you Google that along with Lions, and you find Jameson Williams talking about how he needed to learn that in order to get snaps. He didn't even get on the field. And I thought about this one play, this block of the year play from Craig Reynolds, the running back in Detroit. And I remember because Adam Amin called it out in real time. He was watching it, calling the game, and saw it. This is Craig Reynolds making a block that frees Amon-Ra St. Brown to score. And then you'll hear Amon-Ra St. Brown talking about it after the play.
Under pressure, Goff was protected. St. Brown has it. Needs to get to the 14-yard line, and he will. Craig Reynolds threw the big block.
I caught it, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to cut across the field. I'm going to try to score. So I cut across, boom. And I see this, I see 24, and I'm like, I see Craig come out of nowhere. And I like kind of point at 24, and Craig just comes zooming, boom, lights him up. And he's the reason why I scored. And I give hats off to Craig. It was a huge block. We teach, you know, blocking after the catch so much, and it showed up big time for us when we needed it most. So hats off to Craig, man.
That's how you got to play if you want snaps.
I would imagine that that is something that Dan Campbell loves. And I want Ben Johnson to love that too.
I think he does.
And I think that he's teaching it. And that's what you want. You want there to be a toughness about your team. And even though that position, often people don't give enough credit to how tough guys are, that's a way that you can assert it. And the other thing about the blocking aspect, I know that some of that stuff is like downfield blocking after a catch. I want you to make sure that when the play isn't coming to you, that your body language doesn't tell me that the play isn't coming to you. That if it is a run play,
damn right,
that you're on it.
Sell
and
it.
you're selling it. And then when there's an opportunity for you to lay hands on somebody, you do it.
When Ben was talking about no block, no rock last week, it was in the context of DJ Moore, because he was talking about DJ and correctly praised him as a run after the catch demon, DJ sixth in the NFL with run after the catch with 588 yards. But then Ben says calmly, but remember, no block, no rock. DJ is going to be interesting to watch in this regard. He actually graded out well as a blocker last year, which actually surprised me as I looked at it, ninth best among all wideouts and with 200 or more blocking snaps.
I haven't seen anything that makes me believe that he's not a willing blocker. There were a couple of weird moments for him, but overall, I think those kind of shaped our view of him more so than what he does down in, down out, and down in, down out. DJ Moore, I found him to be enjoyable to watch as a blocker. He's another guy that doesn't have tremendous size. You know, like, he's not out here as big as, like, Mohsin Mohamed was back in the day.
Right.
Like,
but he's strong. We know that. So, yeah, no, I think it was more a broader message about accountability. You know, like, this is one way that you teach it. I'll say this, though, schematically, all those yards running after the catch for DJ, but so much of it was on bubble screens. I'm excited schematically to see what Ben does with DJ Moore, because that's a guy that you want to get in some space, whether it's quick outs or how about shallow crosses, baby. How many times have we seen St. Brown and others on Detroit wide open on a shallow cross, catching it in stride and running like crazy? And it reminds me of, I think it was Jonathan Vilma who said that in the Detroit offense, the first look is often right after the clear out that they'll use in play action. So they use play action to draw a linebacker up. And, oh, look at that. There's a shallow cross right there in the space that's timed out perfectly. I'm looking forward to DJ Moore usage in smarter ways than we saw.
Give me a stick in the seam, dude. Like, put DJ up against a linebacker. Give me a stick in the seam.
Well, all of that stuff, Shane, but I think that Spiegs is onto something, because the misdirection, when we spend a lot of time as a show talking about the importance of play action, that's where a guy like DJ Moore could absolutely eat if they get it right.
Instead of these telegraph bubble screens and tunnel screens, we're like, oh, let me get him the ball. And I know you want to do that. You can do some of that. But, man, you use your surprise to get him in good spots. So, look, I don't think Keenan is necessarily a fit. I mean, maybe he will be, but I'm sure there's a wide receiver lower on the free agent market who's a badass blocker, who's, you know, somebody with possibilities, and maybe they'll draft one too somewhere. You could see a fifth round pick as a wideout, and you spend some free agent money on some other spots. I mean, there's potential there. I'll be surprised if Keenan's here.
I can't wait to see what they do with this. Like,
real talk. Like, I'm very excited to see what the Bears offense could look like and what steps they take, like what things will look familiar to us from last year, what things will look familiar to us from last year with Detroit, and how you end up marrying all of that concept to the talent that's on the Bears roster. It's super exciting when you start to really think about what could be done if they get things right, if the offensive line is taken care of, if Caleb is able to get up to speed quickly on this and not have to worry so much about having to make the hero play. Like, now it's all there for you. Here it is. You're going to pull that linebacker up on play action.
Yep.
Would you look at that?
It's the kind of structure that we were expecting to have provided to him last year.
Right, but they have to start over from zero in that case.
You know who that pass catcher is that I think is going to throw a ton like Penei Sewell did for the Lions? It's going to be Cole Kmet. Cole Kmet's going to throw the ball this year.
You think he's going to throw it?
Yes. Yes.
Wow. I mean,
yeah. I don't mean to blow up DJ's playbook, but quarterback and baseball player. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cole Kmet's going to throw the ball this year.
There's going to be a lot of trick plays that are going to be fun. And people are going to say, this reminds me of Nagy early. But just know it's a part of what the Lions have done every single week.
And there's going to be a lot that don't work at all.
Yes.
And they're going to look embarrassed.
How dare you?
I do want them to
stumble bum.
Kenny, we're trying to have a good day, dude.
It is still the Bears.
I thought we were going to have a good day.
Guy wears a new hoodie, and all of a sudden, he's just saying things noticing. Out of pocket.
I didn't notice it. Relish?
Relish,
is that a Relish hoodie?
Yeah, our guys at Relish. Hey, Derek at Relish. Yeah. We love that hoodie.
All right.
Good St. Patrick's Day.
Quality hoodie.
Well, he's feeling a lot of confidence today.
Shane, you wearing the Derrick Rose hoodie again?
Yes, again.
Can any of us wear it ever to work?
You can't for sure. I just said to Tanny today, dude, only hoodies are comfortable right now. Like, I'm not heavier than I normally am, but I'm only comfortable in hoodies right now.
The Bulls were nice enough to send us all those Derrick Rose night hoodies, and you wear it every day, so it kind of limits the rest of us being able to wear it.
It's not an option to wear around here. Yeah.
I talk to you guys more than I talk to my mom, so just text me the morning of when you want to wear it, and I'll make sure I don't.
Shane, I'm okay with you wearing that.
Thank you. Appreciate it. It's very comfortable.
It's a solid hoodie, too.
It's a very nice hoodie. I've gotten compliments on
yeah,
that
would love to
on
wear mine. It.
No, from the checkout person at the Mariano's complimented me.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah,
checkout girl.
She said that's a very nice hoodie. I said thank you. She said, yeah, I see Shane wears that one all the time. And I'm like, whatever. Thanks for listening.
Oh, she's a mob member, huh?
And watching.
She said for sure that she would mention it on Twitch. That's for sure.
Yeah.
When we come back.
And that woman's name was Archibald Meatpants.
And that
woman's name is Robbie Triano.
Halle Berry. When we come back, I need a little bit of room because I ran across something that it might be I'm an old man or it might be something that needs to come back. Can I get a ruling from you on this after I make a case?
Let's get Anita ruling in here.
All right, let's do that next here on The Score.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.